Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. Stephen, don't make that face. We just have not put the awards up yet. I am Mike Salmon alongside Stephen Julian.
Well, I thought after last week that the string was broken, but not because of us. Our guests won the award, not us.
Yeah, no, you do an award-winning job. Don't degrade yourself.
Oh, thanks. And it's only because of your leadership, Mike.
And the Love Fest is underway. We've got a packed house today. We barely were able to squeeze Steven into the studio. Joining us today on the program from Gainesville Physical Therapy, it's Jeff Scorpit and Holly Mann from Just the Right Place. Tiffany Hill is here, and she's in the right place. Daphne Walker will be joining us. She is the president and CEO of Partnership Against Domestic Violence. And in case anybody gets out of hand, we have an attorney in the room, John Martin Miles with the law offices of John M. Miles. A big thank you for everybody for joining us this morning. And we are going to start with Jeff and Holly from Gainesville Physical Therapy. Holly Mann is the marketing director, and Jeff is the physical therapist and co-director. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
All right, I'll let you, whoever wants to start off, tell us all about Gainesville Physical Therapy, where you're located and what you do there.
So Gainesville Physical Therapy is an outpatient clinic in Gainesville, Georgia. We've been in business for going on 29 years, so we're well known in our community, and we have the best therapists in Gainesville, Georgia. I can say that because I'm not one of them, but so I can absolutely brag on our folks.
You're the marketing director. You're supposed to say that,
right? That's right. That's right. So we have such an outstanding staff and physical therapists, and like I said, we are an outpatient clinic, so we are not part of corporate. We can work very closely with our patients. We specialize in manual medicine and getting people up and moving. We have the motion experts, and so Jeff is going to talk a little bit about that today and some of the expertise that we have at our clinic.
Jeff, your background and how long you've been there, I mean, were you one of the founders?
Well, I'm one of the owners, yes. I've got some terrific partners that have worked with me over the years, and I couldn't do it without them, actually. My expertise is in rehabilitation of musculoskeletal joint pain, whether it be spine or extremity. So, you know, we're there for outpatients to come in and be treated, and I think that the impact on local businesses for musculoskeletal pain is enormous. Duke's study, 1998, showed that people with low back pain in the workplace cost $90 billion. And that's a lot of money to pay out for muscle pain.
Absolutely. Well, since most of our listeners are business leaders, let's talk about that. People that are standing all day at their job or sitting all day at their job, what are some of the problems they may end up having?
Well, firstly, standing and sitting by itself is not a problem. It's the chronicity of it. It's the duration. If that's what you do for 5 or 6 hours straight, then you will undergo certain postural stresses. And if you're doing it day after day and year after year, then you're going to adapt to those positions, and that could cause muscle imbalance and flexibility and eventually some musculoskeletal complaint, usually spine-related, but spine-related complaints usually turn into extremity complaints as well.
Majority of people, of course, sit behind computers, sit at their desk, and they're listening. They're going, oh my goodness, that's what I do all day. What do they do to remedy that?
Well, there's certain ergonomic solutions. Number one is you could have a very comfortable chair that is ergonomically correct, putting you in the correct posture. I mean, that's a good starting place. Other solution is get up often, move around, pay attention to your activity in between sitting, you know, walking, maybe stretching, something like that. And utmost importance, if you have some musculoskeletal complaint or if you have pain, and 8 out of 10 Americans at one time or another have experienced spine, back pain, neck pain, that type of thing. So everybody has experienced this. You should address it. Address it by changing your posture, your workplace, and if that doesn't work, come see a professional like me.
Stephen, I'm going to take a walk now, let you take over the interview for a while.
Holly, you're the marketing and communications director for Gainesville Physical Therapy. Apart from doing this fantastic interview on this wonderful radio show, what are some of the things that you do to kind of get the word out? How do you let the public know where you guys are and how you can help?
So we have several outlets that we, I guess, market to folks and get out in the community. One of them is that we have the ability to market directly to patients. So we can do, you know, business to consumer directly. And we do that through talks in the community. Our therapists are very involved in educating the community and what they can do to better their body and increase motion. Our therapists encourage devices like pedometers and Fitbits and really things that get people up and active and they can truly track how active they are. They're like, we have people in our own office who say, hey, we walk all the time, but then they look down at a pedometer or a Fitbit and they've maybe only walked 2,000 steps in a day, and it's suggested that we walk 10,000. So we can directly market to the folks and patients and consumers directly through talks and education in the community. We can also market to physicians to refer to us for specific niches or specialties that we have. We specialize in balance, vertigo, falling, sacroiliac joint dysfunction, which is, you know, in the low back, it's an orthopedic problem. Jeff is fantastic with shoulders and knees. And then we do have one of our therapists who's also the owners. She does a little bit kind of what Jeff talked about with the ergonomics. She actually goes into companies and industries and she educates the business owner on what they can do for their employees. And so implementing more ergonomic type chairs, exercise programs, getting people up, getting them active, and putting them on some sort of schedule so that they're not so sedentary all day long.
So let me kind of grasp on that last thing.
Sure.
You said about going to the educating the business owner and educating the whole business place. Talk a little bit about buy-in, both on the ownership side and also on the employee side. If, you know, let's assume I'm a business owner, and my first thought might be, I don't know if I can afford to buy everybody an ergonomically correct chair. How do you guys enhance that conversation? How do you move that conversation along and have it be both parties kind of coming together to achieve the best? You know, what are some of the things you guys can bring to the table and can help business owners rather than just, you know, here, buy everybody a brand new ergonomically correct chair?
Right. So that's a great question. A lot of chairs can be altered just by themselves. You might could just add a cushion or a pad. You might could lower the seat or tilt the seat. A lot of chairs have, you know, we can change them or just add something to them that is very cost effective for a business owner. And so budget is always a factor. And we don't come in and just try to blow somebody's budget and say, oh my gosh, you have 100 people and they all need new chairs and they need new desks and you need this great workout program. And so budget is definitely a factor. And we appreciate that because we're a small business as well, who's privately owned. And so there's lots of things that they can do and implement. Even if it's someone who sits all the time, get them up. If there's a place that you could, you know, have another workstation where they can then stand for a little while, that can solve a lot of the problem as well. So budget is definitely a factor, and we are definitely price conscious.
We're talking with Jeff Scorpit and Holly Mann with Gainesville Physical Therapy here on the program. And I got to tell you, Stephen, Holly invited me for a tour of their facilities several months ago. Incredible place, lots of equipment, everything you need is there. And one of the things that you talked about was you have so many therapists there that are professionals in specific areas of the body. Talk about that, because typically you go someplace, they have one or two people and they cover everything. You have experts for certain parts of the body.
We're really proud about that. A lot of therapy clinics, physical therapy clinics, when you go in, most folks are just, they're good at several things, just orthopedics. So hips, shoulders, knees, just the general orthopedics. We have specialists. We have foot specialists. We have people who specifically work on, you know, correcting the foot posture. Jeff, like I said, he is very specific with knees and shoulders, cervical spine. Everybody is very segmented and specific. So if you have a problem, let's say you have two orthopedic problems, you might need two different therapists because we want the expert to be working with you at all times. And then we're not the type of clinic that just has everybody who goes into a gym in one big place and doing exercises. We believe in manual, hands-on, one-on-one treatment. And so we have private treatment rooms where people can go in and get their treatment, where like I said, it's private, and people, they just have that comfort of, you know, that other people aren't watching them get their therapy.
Yeah, talk about the customer service. When they come in, they're going to be treated a little differently as opposed to herding everybody in one room and let's go at it.
Yeah, so definitely. We have a great office staff. For one, our folks come to work with us and they're there forever. It seems like they don't, we have very little turnover, which is.
Wait. You lock the doors and they can never leave?
That's right. Okay. That's right. We feed them once a month, too. So they'll stay for that. But no, we have a great staff. And so people love to work at Gainesville Physical Therapy. And so that comes, that's huge when it comes to customer service, because people who have been patients of ours for 20 years, they've seen the same faces for 20 years. People retire there. And so most of our staff have been with Gainesville Physical Therapy for 10 plus years. Some of us haven't been there that long just because we haven't been in the workforce for that long. Mm-hmm. and so, but we come there and we stay there, and customer service is outstanding. People come in the door, they're greeted like family. We pride ourselves on learning all of our patients' names, and then they have a physical therapist, and then usually an assistant who will work with them directly.
Jeff, let me ask you a question kind of based off what Holly just said. You know, family atmosphere, you're one of the owners. You know, that goes all the way up to the top, or it probably starts at the top, right? I mean, I think a lot of times, especially maybe the perception in the medical field is, well, the customer service, that's for the people at the front desk and all that. But I'm the doctor. I just got to come in and do what I got to do. But how do you start that feeling of family, both for the employees and for the customers? What does that look like in what you bring?
Well, you know, I think that it starts with a telephone call. And the way that our people talk to our patients who are inquiring about care for their specific problem. Holly does a terrific job with the seamlessness of the front office and, you know, presenting a good and positive model. Now, once they come back into the clinic, you know, we treat people in pain. They don't come there for grins and giggles. So, you know, everybody's got a little bit of apprehension when they come in, and we disarm that fairly quickly by saying, we're here to help you. You've got a problem with a muscle, a joint, or whatever, and we're going to find a solution, either partially or completely, and we're going to stick with you all the way. And, you know, I think there's a level of trust that is established right away, and we don't want to seem to be a sterile clinical atmosphere and run you in one door and out the other.
It's great stuff, Jeff. Jeff and Holly, if there's anything else you want to share, I'll give you that opportunity right now. But and then if you could follow that up with information how people can find out more about your clinic and your hours, your exact location, all the services you provide. Give us your website, phone numbers, any of that contact information you have.
So, Mike, the only thing that I want Jeff to touch on really quickly before we end, if it's okay, is the use of mobile devices in companies now. I think that that's huge, and lots of companies are implementing using mobile devices.
And when you say mobile devices, you're talking about?
So cell phones, iPads, okay. Tablets, things that make people.
Don't look at me, Steven. I know mobile like you know, a little car or something. A little moped. Those are mobile devices.
You know, Mike, you have to stop pulling off of the side of the road to find a payphone to call people. You need to get a mobile phone.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I really want him to touch on that just for a minute, because that is really affecting. People think just because there's a mobile device, that's getting people up and moving, and it's not necessarily. It's creating other orthopedic problems or things that we should look out for. So Jeff, being one of the experts in cervical spine, I wanted him to touch on that just for a minute for your business owners.
You know, that's a great point, Holly. You know, we live life in front of us. We don't live life in back of us. So we're always forward-looking, downward looking, and that type of thing. And there's really where it lies the problem with people in the workplace or in the home. Now, mobile devices have presented a new problem over the last 10 to 20 years, is that people are hanging their head pretty much all the time. You know, I looked around in the waiting room out there, and myself as well. I'm looking down at my cell phone, clearing my email, and you know, people forget that they need to stand up, extend, and get it back into neutral position. So my point is that we live life there, but we can't stay there all the time. We're going to have muscle imbalances. We're going to have neck pain. We're going to have mid back pain, low back pain. People are getting tendonitis in their thumbs and their fingers from rapping and dapping on the keyboard all the time. Carpal tunnel, tendonitis in their wrists. So it's repetitive trauma, repetitive posture. And what we do is we identify the postural problem and we teach the patient how to address it. And we give them the tools to work on. I am not going to be the one to fix them. I'm going to be their coach. I'll teach them how to stand, correct the muscle imbalance, and then they will apply it and they will be their own treater.
Jeff, there's one thing, though, that you can share with the folks right now and how they can correct that with breathing, correct?
Correct. You know, one of the strongest muscles in the body is the diaphragm. People really don't know that their breathing really influences how they stand in their postural balance. When people are sitting all the time, their diaphragm is compressed, their ribs are compressed, so it really just stymies the ability for the diaphragm to do its job. The diaphragm is one of the major spine stabilizers, and people don't know that. And if you use your diaphragm correctly, it's going to influence your upper back and your neck posture, and we start with the breathing patterns with our patients, whether it's just exercise or postural reeducation. So I like to put out that people who know what diaphragmatic breathing is, I think that that right there could be an exercise that they could probably look up on the internet, find out how to diaphragmatically breathe, and if they need some help, we certainly can help them with that. But that's where it all starts. It starts in the middle and the central part of the trunk and with diaphragmatic breathing. That's a big muscle.
Wow, some stuff to think about. Appreciate that. Give us the contact information if folks can find out more and come check you out.
Awesome. So you can find our wonderful physical therapist at GainesvillePT.com, or you can find us on Facebook. And on Facebook, we post weekly videos of our therapists, certain educational things, like we just posted sleeping posture. So, you know, properly correcting your pillows and your posture while sleeping is important. And so you can find us on Facebook under Gainesville Physical Therapy, or you can always call us at our clinic in Gainesville, Georgia. Thank you, Mike.
Great stuff. Jeff, you might want to keep her around. She's pretty good.
Oh, she's one of our big, hot young guns. We're going to keep her for a while.
All right. Jeff Scorput and Holly Mann with Gainesville Physical Therapy. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Next up on the show from Just the Right Place, it's Tiffany Hill. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Hold on. We got you right there. Okay. Say it again.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
My posture's bad over here.
Yeah, you were so concentrated on your posture and diaphragmatic breathing
exactly,
that you forgot to hit the microphone.
Just the Right Place. Tiffany, tell us what your company does.
Yes, we are residential and business organizers. I actually started the business in January of 2012, so relatively new to the scene. About 17 years ago, I actually came across a coworker's desk that was frankly a mess. She had paper everywhere. You couldn't even see the top of the desk. She had a filing cabinet that was bursting at the seams, and I offered to help. At the end of that, I thought, great, who's next? I'm ready to tackle more. Little did I know that that was actually a career at the time. So
you saw a business out of this.
I did. Well, at the time, I was like, man, this is great, but I didn't think it was a career. Then fast forward, 2012, I decided to go ahead and end my corporate career and jump in with 2 feet and follow my passion. So then I started Just the Right Place that January.
All right, Tiffany, before Mike asks any other questions, let's just cut to the chase here. You are a messiah. You are a savior. You are the person, that a good majority of the population desperately needs your services. So my question is going to be, how big, how small can these jobs be?
They range from just a small pantry to a full-on redo my entire home.
Redo my entire life.
There you
right?
go. Well, yes, it is definitely life-changing. It's, one of those things that people call because they're overwhelmed and they don't know where to get started, and they give us a call. Like I said, we do small jobs. It could take a day, or it could take weeks and months even to do a whole home or a whole office if we're just doing, one desk or a series of desks in a large setting and stock rooms and that kind of thing. So a little bit of everything. Even cars. I've had people ask about cars, so I don't mind organizing cars. So pretty much any space in your life that you feel overwhelmed by, we're there to help.
How does the process begin? If someone comes up to you, in this case probably Steven, says,
exactly,
I am so disorganized, I don't know where to start.
They don't even know how to start the conversation, I would imagine.
I mean, I guess you got to go and, okay, let me see what we're talking
how
about.
How bad is it?
Yes. Well, we start with a phone consultation, and that allows us to kind of go through your spaces and determine what's causing you frustration. Is it your closet? Is it the pantry? Is it your home office? Is it your workspace in your office? And then from there, we have an on-site assessment, and that allows us to meet face-to-face, get an idea of your personality, and again, you mentioned before, the trust factor comes into play when you're working with people, whether it be with their health or in their personal space. So once we determine that trust factor, then we can move forward and set up sessions to actually get going. But yeah, admitting you have a problem is the first step.
Well, we're talking with Tiffany Hill with Just the Right Place. Let me play devil's advocate. Let's say, well, yeah, you're talking to these, you know, you're helping people clean up their space, but then they're just going to mess it up again. Do you actually train them to say, okay, this is what you should do so it doesn't get like this again?
Exactly. And everyone's different. We're all human. We're all individuals. And so we don't go in with a one-size-fits-all solution. We definitely have concepts and tips and things that have worked through the, you know, through time, through other clients, and things that are kind of steadfast and proven. But at the end of the day, we're all individuals, and the plan is to make the space work for you. I can come in and make it beautiful and walk away like my coworker's desk 17 years ago. I'm sure, you know, 3 days later, it was back to where it was because I was doing it because I thought she needed it. So when someone calls and they're ready to make the change, then we make sure we implement tips and strategies for them and train them with those tools so that it works for them, so that they know when they're filing something, their system matches their lifestyle and not my, you know, perception of what it should be or what it should look like. And so it's interesting because I've heard other organizers say that they get a little frustrated because when they're done, they think, oh, it's not what I thought it should look like. But as long as the client's happy and they're, you know, satisfied and they can progress with life and are confident with what's, you know, the end result is, then we've done our job. So again, it's all personalized, and we do teach those tips and set up those systems for them specifically each time.
I feel like, Stephen, there's an analogy here. Give a person a fish, they eat for a day. Teach them a fish, or teach them how to fish, they eat for a lifetime. So teach them how to clean, you become Felix Unger and not Oscar Madison. An odd couple reference for those of you in the room.
And
here,
by the way, that show's now being redone, so it's actually current too.
Holly's too young for the original.
No, they just redid it. So yeah, very well done.
Thank you,
Mike.
Sir.
Very well done. Okay.
Do I get a check mark for that, by the way?
No, you don't get a check.
I'll hire you.
Thank you.
So I was gonna say there's a healthy struggle with, you know, one of the things in business is you wanna have repeat customers are a good thing. But you kind of almost don't want repeat customers, but I guess it's more maybe check-ins or stuff like that. But here was my question. You have that you do, obviously, I can help with a pantry, I can help with an office, I can help with a desk. But talk a little bit about, time management and you kind of have this on one of your cards, downsizing. That's a one-time need. So kind of talk about, again, in the broad spectrum of what you do, those aspects.
Exactly. And like you referenced, I don't have initially a consumable product that people need, you know, they go through and they need to order more. What's great about this is that, you know, sometimes people want to start small. So they say, let's do the pantry. Well, then they still have a garage, an attic, a playroom, a basement, other things. So that's where kind of that repeat business comes from. Also have clients that will pay if on a retainer type situation, if you will, and pay a package or get a package in there, offsetting their cost a little bit because they're getting a discounted rate. And that is long term. So they can pace themselves and we can do, you know, one room at a time. If, on the other hand, it is one space and they want to get that done and then move on, then the business then comes from referrals. So maybe your house is organized and you're ready to go. That may not be another revenue source for me, from you particularly, but you have an aunt, a cousin, a coworker, and so that's where business comes from too, is referring other people.
There are plenty of unorganized people out there. There are plenty of people who need to admit they have a problem.
Right. Oh, definitely. No, I'm just kidding.
Can you give us, Tiffany, maybe some tips? You don't want to give away all your secrets because we want folks out there to obviously look more into you and perhaps hire you for your services, but can you give us a couple tips that are fairly common that you see all the time that, you know, if they just do this, it'll help organize them?
I would say no matter what space you're working on, you want to start with a plan. So you're going to determine what rooms are causing you frustration. It could be a large room. It could just be a small space. Maybe when you walk in every day and you drop your laptop, you just go, You know, you should be relaxed and worry-free at home, but some people just walk in the door and the stress rebuilds from
Some people have children. That's the stress
right there. I do myself too, so I definitely understand that struggle. But that may be your pain point. It may be your closet. You go in and you're like, you just walk in and get stuck because there's stuff everywhere. So determine what spaces are causing you the most frustration is the first thing. And then you want to make a plan or a goal for that space. What is it ultimately you want to feel like when you walk in the door every day? When you go to the closet, you want, what's the goal? The goal is to be able to find exactly what you're looking for at that moment. Then you want to set a schedule or set up an appointment with yourself. A lot of times people will appreciate the doctor's appointment or an important meeting or taking their son to soccer practice. But it seems like when it's time for us, we kind of push that aside. So I would say make time on the calendar and set an appointment with yourself to actually work on that space. Remember, baby steps, like anything else, it doesn't happen in a day. Like going to the gym, you're not going to work out 2 days and be Mr. America. So you need to remember baby steps and don't get overwhelmed or frustrated. And again, this is a good idea for any space you're working on. If you do come across you're working on it and you feel like you're overwhelmed and need a plan of action, we do offer a kind of a do-it-yourself package. We come in and kind of walk through the space and give you an action plan, and then you do it on your own instead of us actually coming in hands-on organizing for you.
A lot of what you've talked about so far has been with individuals. Is there a market also with businesses, actual offices with everybody? I mean, we were talking about 100 ergonomic chairs. Is there the idea of, oh my goodness, our whole office is kind of, do you work on an office scale? Have you been asked to do that?
Definitely. Going in and doing a presentation would be part of that package. Presenting to the group, whether it's usually a smaller business, 10 to 20 people, and then from there we can break off and work on their individual spaces. And again, personalities are so different. So you may have three cubicles that are lined up and they do the same function, but they look totally different. So working on those individual spaces.
So you don't start with, welcome, I'm Tiffany Hill from Just the Right Place. You're all slobs and disorganized and I'm going to help you. And you don't start that way?
No, not usually. They kind of tend to shy away.
Yeah. I don't have to stand up and say, my name is Mike Salmon
and
I'm
messy.
Okay. I have a deep philosophical business question for you. And it's one that I've talked with many clients, especially when they come into my office and see my disorganized, messy desk. See, I'm willing to admit I have a problem.
That's the first step.
The philosophical question of everything
that to every guest. That's the problem.
Go back and check. That is not true. The philosophical question of everything needs to be filed away in drawers, and I would say I'm the type of person I have to have it within visual sight. Is it possible to be organized with a lot of stuff on your desk and in visual sight, because that's how I help remember what I need to get done?
That's a two-parter. Yes, it is possible. And again, I was referencing earlier that it's all about your style and your function and how you work in that space. The flip side of that is you can file things and have a system to find anything in your office within 5 seconds. It's a matter of putting it somewhere and then having a log or a system to know how to find that, or having someone else find that in your absence. So there's software out there that works great for that purpose, or you can create something homegrown. But yes, having it in front of you, people fear if I file it away or put it somewhere, it'll never get done. So there are definitely systems to for tickler files to say, okay, next Thursday I need to do it. If I put it in a drawer, it'll get lost and Friday I'll be here and, oh no, I lost it or missed the appointment. There's systems set up to remind you daily, and then as well as filing, forms away so that you can still locate them. So it doesn't have to be out of sight, out of mind is not necessarily the case. So
it's have a plan, have a system. So Derek owes me $5 because that was our bet, and now I can use that $5 as a down payment to call in Tiffany and get myself organized.
Baby steps, Stephen. Baby steps. All right, Tiffany Hill, Just the Right Place. For those that want to find out more or look into your services, where can they get more information?
Sure. They can go to justtherightplaceinc.com. They can also give me a call at 404-435-5317 and go ahead and set up that free phone consultation, or check out, like I said, the website and contact us that way.
Great. Tiffany, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Stephen, really, no extra credit for the Felix Unger Oscar Madison reference at all?
Half point credit.
Half point. We have a little contest that goes on during all our shows, by the way. Joining us now on the program from the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, it is Daphne Walker. She is the president and CEO. Good morning, Daphne.
Good morning.
Tell us all about your organization and of course, what you do.
Well, we operate two domestic violence shelters, and it's primarily because we do recognize the importance of providing housing and shelter for women and children who are victims of domestic violence. We have one shelter in Gwinnett County. Our Gwinnett County shelter is actually the largest shelter in the state of Georgia. It's a 55-bed facility. We actually opened in February of 2013. And it is a non-traditional shelter from the standpoint of most people think of shelters as this dark place that nobody wants to go if, in fact, they're victims of domestic violence. And I give people the example of it actually looks more like a Holiday Inn. From the standpoint of we want to create a warm environment where people feel like if they have to leave a domestic violence situation, they can come to a really warm place. And then we also have our shelter in the city of Atlanta in the historic district downtown that also is a 41-bed facility for those women and children out there who are fleeing domestic violence.
I also do sports talk in Atlanta, and domestic violence is something that we've talked about a lot because of all the stuff going on in the NFL. Explain what domestic violence is, give us an explanation, and how often, how prevalent is it?
Well, Mike, it's very prevalent. And I think a lot of times if we knew the statistics, I always tell people one in four women will experience domestic violence at some point in their lifetime, one in seven men. If we had that statistic for anything else, Mike, we would call it an epidemic. You know, we would do major research. We would try to figure out what we could do to solve it. But a lot of people don't want to talk about domestic violence because it's not a fun conversation, you know? So what we're really excited about, and I hate to say excited, but glad that at least it came into the forefront when the Ray Rice incident occurred, was the opportunity to really have a dialogue. And one of the things that we do is host our Domestic Violence in the Workplace conference, because a lot of times when it comes to businesses, they say, well, why would I care about domestic violence? You know, I'm not involved in a domestic violence relationship. You know, I don't have that in my family. Why would I care about it? And so when we have our Domestic Violence in the Workplace conference, we tell businesses, you know, $13 billion, with a B, dollars are spent each year for victims of domestic violence who are employed in healthcare costs. So why does it impact that business? If that those healthcare costs go up, that business, of course, is going to have to increase their overhead. It decreases their profits, and they're not able to be as profitable as they would hope. And so we tell businesses it's important for them to care about the issue of domestic violence because it does impact your business. If that employee is not coming to work and they're not productive and they're not doing what's necessary, if they're increasing your healthcare costs, it does affect that business's bottom line. And so we also talk with them about what can you do to make sure that you have the best policies in place for victims of domestic violence, and that you're also making it comfortable for them to leave that situation, come to a shelter like ours, and continue to be a productive employee.
Daphne, let me ask you this question. I think the obvious question would be for individuals, what are some red flags they should be looking for? What are some things that they should be watchful of to think I might have a problem here? But let me also tag onto that as a business owner. What should I be watching for? What are my rights? What are my responsibilities? Kind of couch your answer both on the individual side, but then also talk to business owners.
Sure.
And what are my responsibilities and what should I be watchful for?
Well, we tell employers to be watchful for a change in behavior. If you had an employee that was a stellar employee, always met their deadlines, never came to work late, but now this person starts to come work late, they're wearing sunglasses when it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, you know, things that just seem out of the ordinary. They're wearing a turtleneck when it's 75 degrees outside. You may want to start to ask questions and make sure that you're not judgmental in it, because a lot of times people fear that they're going to lose their jobs if they have to go to that employer and tell them that they're in a domestic violence relationship. But giving them the flexibility to do that and have the conversation as a part of your onboarding. When you're onboarding employees and you talk about we have employee assistance if you have a loss in your family or death, also say if you are the victim of domestic violence, you can also go through our employee assistance program. That's another thing an employer can do. But if they see the signs of it, it's important for them to address it and just say to that employee, don't say, you know, are you a victim of domestic violence? I mean, most people are not going to just admit that. But, you know, is there something going on? You know, is there something that you need to talk to me about? Is there a reason why you're wearing a turtleneck right now? Just asking questions to give that person at least the room or the opportunity to share that something may be going on. And then the most important thing is not being judgmental, because it's easy for us to say there's no way in the world I would be in a relationship where someone is beating me up on a daily basis. But what we know is that most times that person does want to leave, but it's not easy to do that. And the most difficult thing to do is to leave. Because a lot of times when you ask what is domestic violence, it's a person trying to have power and control over you. And if you do leave, that tells them that they've lost that power and control. And that actually escalates the violence. And so making sure that at least you get the information from them and then giving them PADV as a resource.
So let me ask then about that. I think it's fantastic that we have good shelters both in Gwinnett County and Atlanta. What are the options of someone in that situation? Is it leave or not leave? That's it. Or what are some of the things that are available to them, that the steps that they can take to break that cycle of control?
Well, they may leave or they may not. And that's something that when they call our hotline, we would have one of our shelter advocates talk with them about. Because a lot of times they don't want to leave their home environment and they don't want to come into shelter. We serve about 570 people a year in shelter. We serve 5,000 people outside of shelter. So a lot of people don't want to come into shelter. That's not their option. They may want to relocate to a relative. We can assist them with transportation costs for that if that relative lives in Alabama or Florida. So the first thing they would need to do is to call us and just tell us what's going on. And then we would help them develop what we call a safety plan, how you can exit safely to either a family member oriented shelter services, or sometimes we also partner with other nonprofits that can get them hotel vouchers and those types of things. But the biggest part is just getting on the line with that shelter advocate so that they can walk through a safety plan with them.
We're joined by Daphne Walker with a Partnership Against Domestic Violence, or PADV, as I heard you say just a second ago.
Yes.
You gave the stats early, Daphne, about 1 in 4 women and the men as well. Do you serve both women and men?
We do. We do serve both women and men. We do not serve men in shelter, so we don't mix populations. But if a man calls us and he is a victim of domestic violence, we would make sure that he has a hotel stay, the same support services, counseling. If they have issues with mental health or substance abuse or anything like that, we can also refer them to appropriate referrals for that.
A lot of costs involved. How are you funded?
We're primarily grant funded, and also we receive our funding from businesses, corporations throughout metropolitan Atlanta. And also we apply to foundations and things of that like for funding. But then most importantly, Mike, is just individuals out there that truly care about our mission that say, you know what, we want to give $100 or $500 to support what you're doing. Even churches have supported what we do. And so I think it's just important that if it's a mission that you believe in, that you make a donation. And we tell everybody that all donations matter, because we have to provide everything for them free of charge. So everything from toilet paper to toothpaste, they usually come to us with nothing. So even your clothing donations are beneficial to the clientele that we serve.
This is such a serious topic. All of a sudden I forgot my question, so I apologize for the little comic relief right there. But
And that was little comic relief.
It was
relief.
Very little comic relief. But it was more embarrassing.
We don't
than
ever want
else.
You to stray
no.
from the norm. That's,
yeah, there
that's
goes
normal.
My award.
That's oh. normal for you.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, mark that off the list. We got that done for this episode. You talked at the very beginning of your interview about a workshop, and a workshop that might be available to business owners to come into businesses. So talk about that, getting the word out. What's available? If I'm a business owner, how big or small do I need to be? Are there events that you're a part of that you want the community to know about? Kind of just throw the net of sure. getting the word out there about what you do.
Our Domestic Violence in the Workplace Conference takes place in October of each year. And it is open to businesses of all sizes. We actually produce a manual that helps a business develop their employee policies as it relates to domestic violence. We call it our DV toolkit. And we will sit down with those businesses free of charge to them and make sure that they have business policies in place that will make a domestic violence victim feel comfortable coming to them. If that person gets a temporary protective order, as a business owner, what do you do if both employees work for your agency? So we're there to answer those questions for business owners and also to assist them with their policies. We also have our Hearts with Hope Gala that will take place on May 2nd this year. And that is our major fundraiser. I think to Mike's question about where we get our funding, we usually get about $500,000 of our funding each year from our Hearts with Hope Gala. It will be at the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead on May 2nd this year. And we're really excited about the fact that one of the people that will be recognized is David Midler, one of our former board members who was deeply committed to PADV. And also Lisa Winton, who owns Winton Machine Company, is a business owner in Gwinnett County that will be recognized as well. And so we're really excited about that event because it gives people opportunity to bid on some great auction items and also the opportunity to support our cause. In addition to those things, we do have a teen summit we just completed last weekend. It was at Primerica's headquarters here in Gwinnett County because teenagers are also victims of domestic violence as well. And we are trying to target that population. And so we have a whole different website for them and also a track for parents. If you want to know what you should know about teen dating violence to make sure that you see the signs in your child, if in fact they might be a victim of it. And so the final thing that we do event-wise is a men's leadership breakfast. We had that in September of last year for the first time because a lot of times people say domestic violence is a woman's issue, right? But really it's not because we know that men are perpetrators, but we also know there are a lot of men out there that are not perpetrators, that are great in relationships and that can talk about healthy relationships and what that means to the community. And so this year we celebrated those men and had an opportunity for them to say, what can you do to make a difference and engage other men in healthy relationships?
I know we wanted to get you into the studio because you have that fundraiser coming up soon. So we definitely wanted to get you in. But I want to throw this at you, maybe have you come back at some time because there's so many things that we could talk about that we just don't have the time for today.
Sure.
And also, I know one of the things that's on your list of things to talk about is the is domestic violence in the NFL.
Yes.
And maybe that is something we could talk about on the sports talk station at one point or so. So we'll work all that out. But
thanks,
I do appreciate you coming in and sharing all this for people that want to find out more, support you, get involved. Because I know other than just money, I'm sure there's a lot of ways people can support you. Where can they find out more information?
Sure. We are on Facebook. You can go out to our Facebook page. I hope you will like it at PADV Atlanta. We also have our website, www.padv.org. And of course, you can call us 404-870-9600.
Great. Thank you so much, Daphne Walker with Partnership Against Domestic Violence. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Joining us next here on Gwinnett Business Radio from the law offices of John M. Miles, it's John Martin Miles. So I figured it out, Stephen. The M stands for Martin.
You are so smart.
Yes. Now, I told John before you came here, he already has a check off because he knows you.
Yes.
Apparently there's a connection here.
Yes.
So typically, John, when people are recommended by Stephen, I avoid them. But we brought you on to talk about your firm. Tell us how you know Stephen, first of all, and then tell us about your firm and what parts of law that you work.
Well, I met Stephen 5-6 years ago.
Is this something we could talk about on the radio, or should I have not brought that
no,
up?
No, that's fine.
It's
okay,
right.
You never know.
I'll clean it up.
I'm so forgettable. John had to remember.
Stephen had a networking group at his office, and he invited me to join them, and I did, and that group has grown and shrunk and morphed into a totally different group, and it's gotten away from being a traditional networking group and has morphed into a mastermind group, as Napoleon Hill described it, and that we meet once a month and swap ideas with one another.
You list yourself as a full-service law firm. What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean that you can come in and I can be all things to all people, because that's just impossible in today's society. I am a solo practitioner. I've been a solo practitioner in Gwinnett County for 39 years now, and it's just me. When you go to law school, there are 27 different areas of study that you study. If you look in the phone book, they've got lawyers divided into 125 or 130 different categories. That's if you can find a phone book these days. And so you can't be everything to everybody. But what I have developed a network over the years, and I know different lawyers who practice different areas of the law. And while I cannot be the law firm for one-stop shopping, I'm probably a very good place to go for first-stop shopping, because if you come to me with your problem and it's not something that's within the skill set that I have honed over the years, I know somebody who that is their thing. So you've got a referral from someone who is familiar with what the lawyer does, rather than randomly looking them up, Googling attorney for Social Security and getting a list of 100 names and starting with A and working your way down.
Now, John, the type of law that you do practice is some of the standard stuff, and start with your favorite line about what people need to know, that the wise words of wisdom when it comes to working with an attorney, and then kind of break into some of the specific ones that specific areas that you do help in both small business and individual law.
A large part of my practice is based around the words that Benjamin Franklin said nearly a quarter of a century ago in Poor Richard's Almanac. He said, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." And there's probably nowhere that this is truer than when it comes to hiring an attorney. If you're a business person and you are toying with the idea of embarking on a certain endeavor, you can come to an attorney and you can say, "Should I do this?" And the attorney will look it over, and I'll look at all of the options and all of the opportunities and all of the possible problems. Because an attorney's real job in a problem like this is to look at it and sit back and think, what could possibly go wrong, and how are we going to fix it when it does? So
the glass is like half empty all the time when it comes to being an attorney.
No, the glass is just too big.
That's an attorney right there for you. Glass is twice as big as it needs to be.
That's right.
And he looks at the glass and goes, where could it possibly break, and what are the holes that nobody else sees?
So I can say to the person, yes, go ahead and do this. Or I can say, it's a good idea, but before you jump into it, we need to do this, 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 and this. Or if they're looking at their third opportunity to win the Nigerian lottery, I would say, no, go away from this right away. But that consultation will cost a few hundred dollars. Or you can go ahead and undertake the project because it's something you really want to do anyway. And then a year and a half, 2.5 years from now, when the whole thing's down the sewer, you come to me and say, how do I get out of this? Well, getting out of it is probably a several $1,000 proposition, where getting the advice to get in it properly in the first place would have been a several $100 proposition.
You bring up something, John, and we're talking with John Martin Miles from the law offices of John M. Miles. You brought up something I hear a lot when I talk to attorneys, and that is they're hiring you for your expertise, and you give them recommendations, and they don't follow what you tell them to do. I hear that frustration all the time from so many attorneys.
For years, I had a Snoopy cartoon on my wall when Snoopy was carrying his briefcase and wearing his derby, and he was playing the part of Joe Lawyer. And Linus says, don't you feel awesome responsibility when people's lives depend on the advice you give them? And Snoopy says, I don't really know. I've never had a client follow my advice.
So apart from business owners, standard business contracts, setting up partnerships, things like that, on the personal side, I would imagine it's basically the main estate planning, wills. Talk a little bit about wills, power of attorney, some of the standard things that you can help people with on the personal side.
Okay. In the first place, everybody has a will. Your will can be written one of three ways. One is you can go to an attorney and pay him some money and he will draft a will for you. Two is you can go online and find a will form and fill it out yourself. And three is don't do anything and the legislature will write a will for you. Having the legislature write your will is not the best of ideas. Going online and getting the form is probably not the best of ideas, because the form is not the important part of the entire process. Filling in the blanks is the important part of the process. And knowing the possible ramifications of the words that you fill in the blanks with is exceedingly important. Now, we work with our clients to see to it that they have a will and that their will properly reflects their desires as to what will happen with their assets following their death. This is extremely important when you get into the phenomenon of blended families. And there are an awful lot of blended families where you've got a husband, you got a wife, and each of them have children from a prior encounter. And you want to make sure that when the husband dies, that the second wife is provided for, but not at the expense of disinheriting the children from the first wife. But you don't want the second wife to be destitute so that the children from the first wife can share the estate. So this is a delicate balancing act. when I'm talking with business people and we're putting together their business plan, you have to realize that your business plan and your estate plan are opposite sides of the same coin. Because it does no good whatsoever to have a fantastic business plan if this marvelous person that you're the business partner with drops dead, and all of a sudden your new business partner is his widow, who has absolutely no idea how to run the business other than to cash the check every week. So you need to have in place a plan in your business of what's going to happen if one of the business partners dies. What's going to happen if one of the business partners gets divorced? I had a situation several years ago where a man had a business and he had an angel. An angel was just a person who gave him a whole bunch of money in return for some stock in the company. He got divorced. And in the divorce, his now former wife got the stock in the company. So the shares of stock that were represented last month by the angel are now represented by the shareholder from hell, who turned right around and elected herself to the board of directors, which played havoc with the company. These are things that you need to look for. These are the things that I sit behind my desk and look blankly at the ceiling and go, what can go wrong? And that's one of the things that can go wrong. So we're working with people all the time on these. The other thing about estate planning is what's going to happen with all of your stuff after you die. Now, stuff is a word of art used in the legal profession, defined by George Carlin as things that you own. If somebody else owns the same stuff, it's junk. But when you own it, it's stuff. But besides what's going to happen to your stuff after you die, an important consideration today is, how are you going to die? It has become abundantly clear that our technology has far outdistanced our humanity. A person who, by all natural rules and laws and regulations, should be dead, can be kept alive on a respirator, on a pacemaker, and with the help of all sorts of drugs in the hospital, far beyond the time that they should have died. And the question is, do you want this to happen to you, or do you want to just let nature take its course? In order to just let nature take its course, you have got to affirmatively express your desires that no extraordinary procedures be taken to extend your life. This is what's called the Advanced Medical Directive. It used to be called Living Will. It's been changed. And what it does is it puts forth your desires as to the course of your end-of-life treatment, and it names somebody to take care of your medical decisions in the event that you can't take them. Several years ago, I was at a meeting of the Snellville Commerce Club, and the program for the day was the director of the Gwinnett Community Hospital in Snellville. And the question was, what can we do about rising health care costs? And the director of the hospital said the first thing we need to do is we need to change our consideration of end-of-life care. He said that for 90% of the American population, they will spend 90% of their lifetime health care dollars during the last 90 days of their life. You can spend 40 to 50 years amassing a personal estate and decimate it during the last 90 days of your life.
Mike, I have to take your half point away from earlier, because you actually introduced John incorrectly. After him waxing poetic about what he does, I'm going to bring up that actually you should have introduced him with his proper term. And John's being very kind, because he let you introduce him as an attorney. But John is actually an attorney-tech. And I'm going to let him, John, I'm going to ask you, can you please explain what that term means? And I do this because John is one of the more interesting people I've met in my professional career. And when he first introduced himself as an attorney-tech, it just struck me as incredibly odd and then also fascinating. And it speaks to his expertise and what he does. So John, can you please explain what that term means?
I finished high school and I went to Georgia Tech and received a degree in architecture and received a license from the state of Georgia to practice architecture. Shortly after entering into the architectural business, I observed the attitude in the construction community and found out that there were a lot of people who were Sue happy, and decided if I was going to be a success in the architectural practice, it was going to be necessary to either have an attorney where I could pick up the phone and call them once or twice a day, or have a fairly basic knowledge of the law. So I did some more research and found out it was probably cheaper to go to law school. So I went to law school and managed to navigate law school and pass the bar. And I was getting some plans reviewed one time in my business as an architect. And I've actually been in practicing architecture and law simultaneously since 1976. I couldn't find anybody wanted to hire me to be both, and I couldn't decide which one I wanted to be. So I bought two signs and hung them by the side of the door and went into business. And I was getting a set of plans reviewed one time by the state fire marshal in Gwinnett County, and he referred to me as an attorney-tech, because I was both an attorney and an architect. So that's where that title came from.
And what's fascinating is, notice he started the interview by saying, you know, if you look up in yellowpages.com, I'll say not just Yellow Pages, but yellowpages.com, the 120 different listings of attorneys. He goes, you know, I don't practice them all. Oh, but I am a practicing architect as well as an attorney. So I think the expertise level is probably good enough for most of our listeners.
I do have one more question, because we're running out of time. But one of your questions here you'd like me to ask you about is, explain Schadenfreude, or I have no idea. Can you, because you even grammatically wrote it out for me, and I still can't say it.
He went to Georgia.
All yes. Right. So what is this word and what does it mean?
The word is Schadenfreude, and it is a German term. And it means deriving pleasure from the misery of others. And people think that that describes the practice of law, because very few people wake up, look out the window and go, damn, it's a beautiful day. I think I'll go see my lawyer. What's far more likely to happen is they are awakened from a restful sleep by a pounding on the door and stumble down to have the sheriff hand them some papers and says, congratulations, you've been sued.
Holy Schadenfreude.
Yeah, holy Schadenfreude. So that's what Schadenfreude is. And if you come and see me early enough with your questions of, should I do this, then what you're going to do is you are going to deprive some lawyer of the pleasure of suing you in the future. And so you can derive pleasure from the misery of that lawyer, and you can experience Schadenfreude.
Great stuff. Listen, John, for those that want to find out more about you, maybe look into your services, hire you, hear some more George Carlin jokes, how can they find out and reach out to you?
All right. We're at the Swanee Center, which is on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard at the corner of Eva Kennedy Road in Swanee. The actual address is 970 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard. Phone number is 770-972-5650. We also have an office in Johns Creek to serve our clients in the Sandy Springs, Alpharetta, Roswell area. Have a web page at johnmiles.com. I made that where it's easy for me to remember. And you can go there and find out all you want to know about us.
Great. John, thank you so much for joining us. Big thank you to all our guests today. John Martin Miles from the law offices of John M. Miles, Daphne Walker from the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, Tiffany Hill with Just the Right Place, and Jeff Scorput and Holly Mann with Gainesville Physical Therapy. A reminder that you can listen to this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio X programs by visiting gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. You can listen anytime, day or night. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X. Like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X as well. For our producer, Trey Odom, and for Stephen Julian.
I think we're back on the award-winning streak, Mike. Well done, sir.
Thank you. It's all because of you.
No.
It's all you.
It's all you.
It's all you.
Okay.
It's all you.
It's all me.
I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.